is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Wednesday, April 25th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We'll start with the NBA. We'll get to the one NHL playoff game yesterday and the Game 7 tonight and two more tomorrow. But in the NBA, you've probably seen it 20 times by now. Meta World Peace, formerly known as Ron Artest, lost his mind again. You know, according to the Lakers, he's been good as a teammate and hasn't lost his mind, blah, blah, blah. But did lose his mind the other day, elbowing James Harden of Oklahoma City in the head, a vicious elbow. Still claiming it was a celebration and he didn't know somebody was near him, which is kind of bizarre because clearly they bumped into each other just before Artest elbowed him in the head. Again, Artest just doesn't seem to be all there all the time. If you look at him after he elbowed the guy in the head, he just kept running back like nothing had happened. Just bizarre. I mean, if you are celebrating and you don't know where you are and you elbow a guy in the head, you have to at least have a sense that you elbowed a guy in the head. But in any event, Meta World Peace did not seem to understand the NBA yesterday, giving him a 7-game suspension, which will be one regular season game and 6 games in the playoffs if the Lakers get to 6 games. So he would be eligible, for example, if there was a Game 7 in the Lakers' first round of the playoffs. Artest, Meta World Peace, would be eligible for that 7th game, but he's sitting for 6. And again, there's just something wrong with the guy. You know, he's had his issues, and he came out about his depression, and it was all very nice, and he was working through his issues, and he was trying hard, and he was public about it, and he has been, for the most part, good. But when you do something as vicious as that, as stupid as that, I mean, some people are saying he's lucky, you know, he only got 7 games. To his credit, I guess he was contrite about what he did, and he tweeted an apology to Oklahoma City and to Harden, blah, blah, blah. But again, there's something basically wrong there deep down. If your celebration includes vicious swinging elbows, you know, he was trying to explain to the ref, it's one thing to pound your chest. I mean, I think all these things are ridiculous, but hey, that's just me. But you're pounding your chest because you scored a big basket or a dunk over Serge Ibaka or whatever, and then you just viciously elbow. I mean, if Harden wasn't there, what would be, that's a celebration, the vicious elbow? It's just bizarre. So the guy gets 7 games. It hurts the Lakers. Artest has certainly been up and down at best this year. And he is one of those guys that the Lakers have to rely on. You know, with Ramon Sessions now, you would think on paper the Lakers can make a run because Kobe's still Kobe. On the final game going after a scoring title, we'll have to see. We'll talk about that a little bit as well. Gasol has played well this year. Again, Gasol's woes in the playoffs last year that led to the trade rumors of this year were allegedly because he was having some problem with his girlfriend or something. Bynum has really grown up this year. Come on, he's a little wacky too, taking those threes and complaining about the coaches, and sometimes he doesn't know where he is. And he's another one who smacked J.J. Barea in the head last year and got a suspension. But Kobe, Gasol, and Bynum, yeah, you can build a championship team around that. But Artest is the other guy, and Ramon Sessions is an upgrade at the point over Derek Fisher, not from a leadership capacity, but from a young legs quickness capacity. So Meta World Peace really hurts his own team, whether he understands that or not. Again, the guy just seems to have brain lapses sometimes, and he had one the other day. It cost him 7 games. Let's get to the NBA games. We will get to the scoring title in a minute, which is, you know, in the overall scheme of things, not a big deal, but this is the closest one ever. But yesterday, the one game with great importance, playoff importance, you know, win the game, make the playoffs, lose the game, don't make the playoffs if you're Phoenix, and that would be the Phoenix Suns going into Utah to play the Utah Jazz. Prior to the game, Utah in the number 8 spot at 34, and 30. Phoenix in the number 9 spot at 33-31, obviously one game separating the two. A Phoenix win would put them into a tie with Utah for the 8th and final playoff spot. But playing in Utah, it was not to be. As the Utah Jazz beat the Phoenix Suns 100-88, was this Steve Nash's next-to-last game, or last game with a chance to make the playoffs for the Phoenix Suns? Nash is on record. You know, he's always been loyal to Phoenix, but he's on record now as saying, look, if we don't really build into a contender quickly, I'll go somewhere else next year. Nash, a free agent after this season, after the next game. But yesterday, Phoenix sees its playoff hopes die. Phoenix down 7 at the half, loses by 12. Jazz 100, the Suns 88. And give Ty Corbin a lot of credit. I didn't think Utah could make the playoffs this year. You know, they had all that nonsense last year when Jerry Sloan quit in the middle of the season, reportedly because of Darren Williams' nosing presence or talking about other players who should play or whatever it was. Sloan left. Eventually the Jazz traded Williams to the Nets. Doesn't look like now, with no Dwight Howard coming to the Nets, that Williams will be staying. The rumors are Darren Williams is going to Dallas, but that's for later. Last night, Jazz 100, Suns 88. Paul Millsap, 26 points, 15 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. Al Jefferson, a beast, 18 points, 16 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks. They led the way. Devin Harris, you know, when he left the Nets, I said I thought he was one of the better point guards in the NBA. He kind of disappeared for a while, but now he's back. 33 minutes yesterday, 5 for 12 from the field, including 2 for 6 from 3, 14 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. So they have a pretty good team. Hayward with 11 points. I mean, they have a nice little team, Utah. I don't think they can make any noise in the playoffs, but again, give Ty Corbin credit. He gets them to the playoffs. They get some playoff experience. Utah now 5 games over 500 with 1 game left. The Jazz 100. The Suns 88. Steve Nash, 14 points, 11 assists, 4 rebounds. Ending, I think, a great career at Phoenix. I think he'll be somewhere else next year. If he really wants to win a championship, then he's going somewhere else. Dudley with 15 points and 6 rebounds for Phoenix. Brown with 12 points, 5 rebounds for Phoenix. Michael Redd reviving his career this season, 5 for 11 off the bench, 3 for 6 from 3, 15 points. Warwick with 12 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists off the bench. But again, Phoenix will finish at 500 or above 500, but not enough to make the playoffs, especially in the West. The Jazz 100, the Phoenix Suns 88. That was the game, frankly, with major playoff implications. There are other games, Sacramento at Oklahoma City. This was more, frankly, to view as a scoring title game. Going into the final game of the season now for Oklahoma City and for the Lakers, Durant with 32 and 9 rebounds to lead his team last night. Oklahoma City 118, Sacramento 110. But as they go into the final game of the season, and Durant's final game is tonight, Kobe's is tomorrow night, Durant leading the league in scoring with an average of 27.97 points per game. Kobe second with 27.86 points per game. Obviously, they're very close. But now Kobe will know on Thursday what he has to score to beat Durant for the scoring title. And we've seen that before in the last game where guys will go off for 50 or 60 or even 70 one year to win the scoring title. Yesterday, Durant played 3 quarters and scored 32 points. Right now, he's ahead of Kobe. And we'll see. It'll be very interesting if Kobe goes out of his way to score whatever he has to score, 40 or 50, and you have to think it's going to be somewhere in that neighborhood to beat Durant. Because, again, Durant plays tonight. Kobe plays tomorrow. Yesterday, Oklahoma City 118, Sacramento 110. Daquan Cook off the bench for Oklahoma City with 19 points all in the fourth quarter. Oklahoma City gets the win. They're not going to catch San Antonio. DeMarcus Cousins, 32 points, 7 rebounds to lead Sacramento. But it's Oklahoma City 118. Sacramento 110. A few other games with more playoff seeding position than anything else. The Clippers go to Atlanta to play the Hawks. The Hawks battling the Celtics for position. The Clippers battling the Lakers for position. The Hawks at home, 109-102 over the Clippers. Blake Griffin with 36 points for the Clippers. Chris Paul with 34 and 8 assists, but not enough as Atlanta gets the win at home. Atlanta moves to 39-26 in the East. The Clippers move to 40-25 in the West. Joe Johnson with 28 points to lead Atlanta. Josh Smith with 10 rebounds and 5 assists to lead the Hawks. They get the win, 109-102 over the Clippers. A few other games with very little meaning, if any meaning. The Hornets beat the Warriors at Golden State. Hornets 83, Golden State 81. Bellinelli leads the Hornets with 23. Thompson with 16 for the Warriors. Jenkins getting a lot of playing time for the Warriors now, leads them with 10 assists. One other game, and again, this would be like a trivia question. Who led the Miami Heat in scoring last night? Miami goes up to Boston to play the Celtics. Meaningless game for the Heat. Pretty much a meaningless game for the Celtics, although they are, in theory, trying to catch Atlanta. But yesterday, the Celtics first in their own division, so a meaningless game for them as well. For the Miami Heat, no James, no Bosch, no Dwayne Wade, no Big Three. For the Celtics, no Rondo, no Allen, no Garnett. Paul Pierce plays 18 minutes for the Celtics. The Celtics get the win 78-66. And if you want to have a great trivia question for your NBA buddies who think they know the NBA, the question is, who led the Miami Heat in scoring yesterday? And the answer is Dexter Pittman. Pittman with 12 points. Sasha Pavlovich leads the Celtics in scoring with 16. Final score, Celtics 78. Miami Heat 66. And again, you understand it's about resting your players now for the playoffs insofar as you can rest them. But now the playoffs, Chicago is clinched first over Miami. Indiana and Boston, your other two division leaders. Atlanta in the 5 spot. Orlando in the 6 spot. The Knicks in the 7 spot. Philly in the 8 spot. Now the Knicks and Philly are tied. And obviously there's a real train of thought, at least in New York, that the Knicks would be better off coming in 8th to play Chicago than 7th to play Miami. And of course, I would agree with that. I don't know how that's going to happen. But New York and Philly, with 2 games left, are both 34-30. Again, no more 9th place can get into 8th place in either conference. In the West, San Antonio, the number 1 seed over Oklahoma City. The Lakers are 3rd. The Clippers are 4th, Memphis 5th, Denver 36-28 there in 6th, Dallas 36-29 there in 7th. Utah clinches that 8th spot, although they can, in theory, move up. They're 35-30. Phoenix and Houston both at 33-32, but both out of the playoff chase with 3 games left. Utah clinches the final spot by beating Phoenix yesterday. So that's your NBA playoff run. Again, it's about pretty much resting your players until the playoffs start. The Celtics Heat game, unfortunately, if you paid good money to see a game like that, you would have been sorely disappointed, as virtually nobody played for either team, certainly the big three out for Miami. But that's how it is the last couple of games in the season. Certainly you know that going in, that these games could result like games like this, 78-66, with players you don't even know leading the team in scoring. Dexter Pittman leads the Miami Heat. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Hello.
Hi, Lynn. It's Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. What's new?
I'll tell you what's new, but you've got to promise to keep it a secret. I don't want this to get back to my customers at the spa.
Now I've got to know. Come on, tell me.
I found this skin cream called Esotique that's simply amazing for my dark circles, brown spots, and wrinkles. All my customers are asking me what I'm doing for my skin, so I just tell them I had plastic surgery. If they find out about Esotique, they're going to stop coming to my spa.
Esotique will tackle your dark circles, wrinkles, and age spots, leaving you with young and radiant skin. The results will astonish you. Call now for your risk-free supply of Esotique. 800-824-3854. That's 800-824-3854. Say goodbye to dark circles, age spots, and wrinkles. Supplies of Esotique are limited, so call now. 800-824-3854. That's 800-824-3854.
Hikari, established in 1877 with more than 130 years of experience, is the world's foremost authority on aquatic nutrition. We know what it takes to offer you and your aquatic pets nutrition that can help them look their best and live a long and healthy life. If you're looking for the best aquatic diets for your hard-earned dollar, look no further than Hikari, the aquatic nutrition leader worldwide. For further information, visit HikariUSA.com and our direct link at BlueZooRadio.com. Off the Bench with Josh Scarr and Scotty Bickford, Mondays at 4 p.m. on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you could stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Switch to the NHL. Only one game yesterday, but a big one. The New Jersey Devils facing elimination, down 3-2 to the Panthers, playing in New Jersey. Get the win in overtime. Marty Brodeur over Scott Clemenson. Clemenson, of course, the former backup to Brodeur at New Jersey, an emergency starter for the mysteriously injured Jose Theodore. Nobody knows. Wasn't discussed by the Panthers the nature of his injury, but he did not play Game 6. As far as can be told, it looks like he will not play in now the decisive Game 7 tomorrow. But New Jersey gets the win in overtime. New Jersey 3. Panthers 2 on a goal by Travis Zajac, his third of the playoffs. Now, Zajac is a guy who only played, very good player, but only played 15 games this season for New Jersey. He had an Achilles injury that required surgery back in August, but now he gets the big goal yesterday in overtime. The game started. Steve Bernier with his second of the year put the Devils second of the playoffs put the Devils up 1-0 in the first period. In the second, the Devils go up 2 on Ilya Kovalchuk's third of the year. Zajac and Sikora getting assists, but then in just a bizarre game in the second period, Florida only had 4 shots on goal, yet they scored 2 goals. Down 2-0, Chris Versteeg gets his third. And then later in the second, Sean Bergenheim gets his third. So they tie up the game in a period in which they get 4 shots. Look, the Devils outshot the Panthers 42-16. The Panthers never had more than 6 shots in a period. Yet they hung around. But the Devils kept charging the net in overtime, 5:39 into overtime. Travis Zajac scores his third of the playoffs from Kovalchuk and Zach Parise. In fact, it was interesting because after the game, Clemenson, when he was interviewed, now Clemenson played great. Again, under siege, 42 shots on goal, 39 saves versus 16 shots on goals against Marty Brodeur. 14 saves for Brodeur. But Clemenson said he thought that Zajac kind of mishit the puck, almost like a changeup where he's trying to shoot it hard, but he doesn't get it all. And it was like Clemenson said he thought Zajac was trying to go up high, but he half fanned on it. Obviously, he didn't fan on it. It went in down low. But the bottom line is it went in, and that's all that matters. Zajac scores the goal in overtime. New Jersey 3, Florida 2. Series now tied, 3 games apiece. Game 7 down in Sunrise, Florida on Thursday night. And again, you have to give the edge. Look, Clemenson played real well, but the Panthers, not a very experienced playoff team. The Devils, obviously, with Marty Brodeur, arguably the greatest goalie of all time, has now over 100 wins in the playoffs, has been in Game 7s before. Even though they're playing in Florida, and I think most people thought that New Jersey would win this series, I think you have to give a slight edge to the Devils and Marty Brodeur in a Game 7, even though it's on the road. Again, Florida did not tell anyone what the nature of Jose Theodore's injury is. It's unclear whether he's going to play, but yesterday Florida simply did not discuss the nature of Theodore's injury. Another big loss for Florida is defenseman Jason Garrison, who's their leading defenseman goal scorer. He missed his third straight game in the playoffs. Not clear whether he'll be back or not. So if they don't have Theodore and they don't get Garrison back, again, given the playoff experience of Brodeur and the Devils versus Clemenson, who has never played in the Game 7, and the Panthers, I think even though the game is in Florida, you have to give the edge to New Jersey. This is, Game 7 are the magic words, and the pressure and what's at stake. While everybody kind of understands it, it's one thing to understand it. It's another thing to have a lot of experience and to play in it. Devils 3, Florida 2 in overtime, forcing Game 7 on Thursday. We'll get to the TV later in the show, but tonight, a game seven, the number seven Capitals in Boston to play the number two seeded Bruins. And again, you almost laugh at the seedings in hockey, as you know. Number eight Kings have already beat the number one Canucks in five. Number eight Ottawa Senators taking the Rangers to game seven. Number one Rangers in the East to game seven. That's also tomorrow, Thursday. But tonight, Capitals against the Bruins, a game seven. Tomorrow, Senators and Rangers, game seven in New York. New Jersey goes down to play the Panthers, game seven in Florida. The only series that's been decided in the East, and that was a wild one as well. The number five Flyers beat the number four Penguins, four games to two. Again, jumping out to that 3-0 lead in what can only be called the no-defense series, although Brizgalov did play well in game six. I mean, just the, you know, it was more like football games than hockey games. In the West, everything already decided. As you know, the number four, the number eight Kings upset the number one Canucks 4-1, although a number of people picked the Kings, which was surprising to me. Vancouver, the President's Trophy winner, and you know that doesn't mean anything when you hit the playoffs. And again, this is not the NBA, but the Kings have already beaten the Canucks 4-1. The number two Blues beat the number seven Sharks 4-1. The number three Coyotes beat the number six Blackhawks 4-2. And the number four Nashville Predators, behind their hot, great goalie Pekka Rinne, beat the Detroit Red Wings, the number five seed, 4-1. So they reseed in hockey. So it'll be the number two St. Louis Blues against the number eight Los Angeles Kings. And it will be the number three Phoenix Coyotes against the number four Nashville Predators. And again, we don't know any of the results in the East yet, except for the Flyers over the Penguins. Devils and Panthers, game seven tomorrow. Capitals and Bruins, game seven tonight. Ottawa at the Rangers, game seven. So there are three game sevens in the next 2 days in the National Hockey League. And again, whatever sport you're in, whatever sport you like, obviously, those are the major games, and we'll discuss them at length over the next few days. A few miscellaneous things before we get to the baseball. You know, Joe Vitt, who is the interim head coach now for New Orleans, replacing Sean Payton, who's suspended for the year, really hasn't said a lot. He will be the coach until the first game, then he has his own six-game suspension to deal with. And, you know, you understand you have to be loyal to your organization, but I think it would be better if these guys just shut up and don't say anything. But Joe Vitt decided to talk to the media yesterday for 25 minutes. He said at no time did any one of New Orleans defensive players cross the white lines to go onto the field with the intention of hurting other players. Now, given everything we know now, given the tapes, given the speech, given the bounties, given some of the hits that you see virtually every day on TV against guys like Brett Favre, given all that stuff, it's kind of hard to understand that they weren't trying to hurt somebody. I mean, it's just kind of hard to believe. Now there's new allegations, as you know, of Mickey Loomis, the general manager, eavesdropping on other coaches during games in New Orleans, where Loomis could at least in theory listen in on what the coaches were saying to their quarterbacks or the defensive players. Again, this is just terrible stuff. This is on top of already Loomis with an 8-game suspension. Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator, with an indefinite suspension. Payton, who appealed and lost his appeal on a 1-year suspension. Again, appeals in the NFL are jokes. If Roger Goodell sets the penalty and then you appeal to Roger Goodell, that's preposterous. But Joe Vitt decided to talk yesterday. And again, these guys put themselves in a bad spot. They want to be loyal to the organization. They look like fools half the time. But Joe Vitt is the coach, decided to speak publicly. Again, there should be someone with a brain there who will say, let's just take our punishment, shut up, and go to work. Also, we're still waiting for Goodell to discipline some of the players. Now, I think that should be very light, if any, discipline on the players. I mean, again, I don't know what you want these guys to do when their bosses come in, guys who are paying them a fortune, guys who have the power of playing time, the power to cut. I would think for the most part you're going to do what you're told to do. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean go out and try and hurt somebody, but the notion that you're going to stand up and say, I'm not going to do that, as opposed to just not doing it, is preposterous when you understand the realities of the situation. Look, there are a lot of problems in New Orleans. Can they win the Super Bowl? I certainly don't think so. I mean, what is a coach if Peyton misses the whole year? Parcells didn't want to come back. He would be the one guy who might be able to come in, crack the whip, and, you know, keep the team at that same high level that they were at. But they had a lot of problems on the road last year. They were virtually unbeatable at home. You know, some people will question that. Why were they unbeatable at home? And now, you know, you're going to continue to hear these notions of whatever it is they were doing. And you can categorize it any way you want. The eavesdropping on the other coaches would help more at home than any bounty, it would seem to me. So that still hasn't been decided. That's a new thing. Of course, Joe Vitfeldt, you know, he had to say, I'm with Mickey Loomis 17 years. It's ridiculous to think he would do anything to hurt the integrity of the game. And, you know, you're standing there as a guy from afar looking at it saying, yeah, that's why he got suspended 8 games. That's why he had knowledge of a player bounty system on his own team. So, again, you get into trouble. I'm not saying you shouldn't stick up for your guy. But, you know, you should have the intelligence to understand what the backdrop is when you start talking about what a great man of integrity this guy is. Nobody believes that, even if it's true. You know, he said the complaints against Loomis about the eavesdropping is juvenile. I know it's not true. Well, how can you say that when the guy's already getting 8 games for being part of a bounty program, or at least sanctioning a bounty program that was instituted by your own defensive coordinator, who presumably you had some input into hiring and you were involved in the team on a daily basis? So it's hard to listen to stuff about what great integrity these guys have when one guy's getting a year, another guy's suspended indefinitely, another guy's getting 8 games, another guy's getting 6 games. So really, you just, I'll say it again, the best thing for these guys to do is to just shut up, go coach until you can't coach, sit your 6 games, shut up, come back in and do the best that you can do. But I don't see how the New Orleans Saints can win the Super Bowl. And, oh, by the way, they have Drew Brees, one of the best quarterbacks in the game. Some would say the best quarterback in the game, who is unsigned. The notion that they can't work a long-term deal with this guy, who really turned it around in New Orleans, helped them win the Super Bowl, was a pivotal figure both on and off the field, shattered, as you know, the all-time NFL passing yardage in the year record. And I understand, yeah, it's a totally different game. Yes, Dan Marino would throw for 6,000 or 7,000. I get all that. But Drew Brees still did what Drew Brees did in the modern-day NFL. Look, everybody wants offense. Everybody wants passing. Everybody wants scoring. That's the nature of the NFL. That's what they view to be something that draws the fans in. Is that true? Is that false? Well, I think scoring does draw fans in. But they haven't even signed Drew Brees. So they have no coach. They have a new defensive coordinator. They have no GM. I mean, these things are all preposterous. They have no signed quarterback. So will New Orleans be good this year? Absolutely. Can New Orleans win the Super Bowl? Well, I certainly don't think they can. Again, having the coach has to count for something. Having this kind of upheaval all across the top of your organization has to count for something. Can New Orleans overcome that? Well, I think they can overcome it and be a playoff team. But that's because I think if everything was in place, they would have a good chance to be one of the favorites and possibly get to the Super Bowl. But I don't think that's going to happen this year. So if you hear any of this Joe Vitt conversation, you know, I guess you have to applaud the guy for being loyal to his guys, and good for him. But again, you would think there would be someone there, maybe the owner, who would just send out a blanket, look, can we all just shut up? Let's do our best. Let's work hard. Let's get through this nightmare. Hopefully it's only going to be a nightmare for the first 6 games and not the first 16 games. But really, it would be the old, you're much better off just shutting up, not talking, and going to work. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
Yeah, we've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Men, do you know that your testosterone starts declining at 30 and keeps falling every year? Losing testosterone can lead to stress, mood swings, a negative outlook on life, and not to mention decreased sexual desire. That's why we created T-Gen to naturally help boost testosterone levels. T-Gen contains an ingredient proven to significantly increase healthy testosterone levels. So let's face it, as we age, it's harder and harder to keep up with the active lifestyle that we once had. But with T-Gen, it will be easier to relive those moments. So don't let aging be an excuse for a decreased sex drive and performance. And reclaim your zest for life today by calling 1-800-489-9266. For a risk-free supply, call 1-800-489-9266. And when combined with exercise, you'll gain muscle and lose fat. So start the changes today. Call 1-800-489-9266. 1-800-489-9266.
This is WWE Superstar The Big Show.
This is Edge.
This is Stacey Keebler.
What up? This is John Cena. You're logged on.
We're logged on.
And you're logged on to Sports Talk.
Sports Talk.
Sports Talk.
Sports Talk Network.com. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
TH-121 is the world's first antioxidant-based anti-aging weight loss formula proven to provide dramatic results with absolutely no side effects. No jitters, no racing heart, no staying awake all night. This unique combination of antioxidants and natural metabolism enhancers create a powerful appetite suppressant that turns each cell in your body into little fat and sugar-burning factories. Call now and receive a free 30-day supply of TH-121 free with your order. And that's not all. If you're one of the first 150 callers, you'll receive Fitness Celebrity John Basedow's newest DVD and Chamonix's amazing 5-Minute Wrinkle Cream absolutely free with your order. It's an $80 value. Now you don't have to choose between living longer or looking better. Call 800-345-4204. That's 800-345-4204. Get a free 30-day supply, one free DVD, and a free 5-Minute Wrinkle Cream just by ordering right now. Results guaranteed or your money back. Call 800-345-4204. That's 800-345-4204.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfie and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. A few more miscellaneous things before we get to the baseball. NFL draft, of course, tomorrow night. Starts at 8 o'clock in New York City, 8 o'clock Eastern. Andrew Luck, Colts confirmed yesterday what everybody knew, that Andrew Luck will be the number one pick. RG3, of course, will go to Washington with the number two pick. The next question is, what will the Vikings do with the number three pick? First, people thought they would take Matt Khalil, the tackle from USC. Then they thought maybe they'll go for that cornerback from LSU, Morris Claiborne. Now they might trade the pick. Nobody really knows. The intrigue, if you will, if you're into intrigue, the intrigue at the draft now is not number one or number two, but number three, and who the Vikings will take, or will they trade the pick. The Browns at number four, looking at Trent Richardson from Alabama. Kind of sad what's happened to the Browns. I thought they had a chance to be a good team last year, but Peyton Hillis, was he sick? Was he hurt? Did he not want to play? Hillis struck me as the kind of guy who really wanted to play, and maybe he had the Madden football EA Sports curse, I don't know. But now they're looking for a running back, and it might very well be Trent Richardson at number four, or the Browns are rumored to maybe be looking to trade down and, you know, get some players now and then get a running back later, even if it's not Richardson. The running backs have been devalued in the NFL. I personally think that's a mistake, although you do understand it is a passing game now and has been for a few years. But that's the view in the NFL, I think. It's just the running back is not the valuable commodity, if you will, that it once was. But that's tomorrow night. The draft starts. Another NFL trade. Apparently the Eagles are about to trade Asante Samuels, who was, you know, an unbelievable defensive back for the Patriots. Apparently the Eagles are going to trade him to Atlanta for a late-round pick. Eagles don't want to pay that big salary to Samuels. Apparently Atlanta willing to get him. To me, he still is a top defensive back. But again, a team like the Patriots just isn't going to pay a fortune to a guy like him, so he winds up in Philly and now apparently is on his way to Atlanta. One other miscellaneous thing we should talk about briefly, the perjury, obstruction of Congress, false statement, six-count indictment trial of Roger Clemens. Got underway, the actual trial part as opposed to the jury selection, got underway on Monday afternoon in federal district court in Washington, D.C., before Judge Reggie Walton. Clemens, the prosecution, made their opening statements on Monday afternoon, and then Rusty Hardin, Clemens' lead attorney, made his opening statement yesterday, Tuesday morning. Then they had only one witness, a congressional investigator who wasn't even, his testimony was not completed. Barnett is his name. And what happened was Judge Walton apparently had a prior commitment to go somewhere to speak for the next few days. So court ended Tuesday afternoon, early in the afternoon, and there will be no court Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. The trial of Roger Clemens will resume next Monday. Now, according to reports from people who were in the courtroom this time as well as last time, the prosecutor's opening statement is usually kind of a bland, just the facts, ma'am. You know, this time it was the deceit of lies, the web of lies that Roger Clemens was weaving, and how, you know, he lied through his teeth about a lot of things. And look, that's the crux of the case. While the underlying part of the case is, did he do steroids, did he do HGH, the charge is not for steroid use. The charge is for lying to Congress and for perjury and for false statements. The main difference between perjury and false statements being, perjury is if you lie under oath. False statements is just if you lie to someone like an FBI investigator when they're talking to you, you're not under oath. So he's looking at six counts. Certainly I, along with most people, think he did use HGH and or steroids. There has been a lot of argument about the testimony of Andy Pettit, and that testimony was limited. And that Andy Pettit cannot testify before the jury that he received his HGH from Brian McNamee, because that's where he got it. Judge Walton is a little concerned that this would lead to guilt by association or be unfairly prejudicial to Roger Clemens and his defense. That is, if Andy Pettit, honest, God-fearing Andy Pettit, says, I got my HGH from McNamee, then because Pettit virtually idolized Roger Clemens, then the jury would think that Clemens must have gotten his HGH from Brian McNamee, which of course then would be proof that he did perjure himself and or did make false statements to government officials. So as of right now, that's ruled out. As the judge said, the jury might guess anyway that if Pettit got his Pettit got HGH from somebody, that it might very well have been McNamee. So rather than help them connect the dots, I guess, Judge Walton is saying it would be unfairly prejudicial, and there is a federal rule of evidence that if the judge thinks that the prejudice to the defendant would outweigh the probative value of the evidence, that evidence can be excluded. And as of right now, it is excluded. You will not hear, absent a change in the ruling by Judge Walton, you will not hear during this trial from Andy Pettit that he got his HGH from Brian McNamee, who, of course, was Clemens' trainer for about a 10-year period. So that's where that is. I wrote an article a long time ago that I will put back up next week, maybe, or whenever Pettit is going to testify. Unbeknownst to most people, there's a 105-page deposition that Pettit gave prior to his two-page affidavit. The two-page affidavit is just, Clemens told me that he did HGH. But when you look in that deposition, there are a lot of things that will conflict with that statement, and I think a good defense lawyer will be able to cross-examine Andy Pettit and maybe raise some reasonable doubt. And as you know, in the criminal trial, that's what the defendant tries to do, tries to raise some reasonable doubt with the jury to get their client off. So, of course, we'll keep an eye on that. But again, nothing on that trial. It will resume next Monday, so nothing today, tomorrow, or Friday. I want to get to Major League Baseball now, a couple of games to focus on, and really one player to focus on, the Angels down in Tampa to play the Rays. The Rays starting their tough lefty, David Price. The focus to me being on Albert Pujols and what's wrong with Albert Pujols. You're hearing too much, I think, too much of he'll be all right. It's early in the season. Now, this has happened to Pujols before, but not to this level. After 16 games with that gigantic contract, Albert Pujols is hitting .232, no home runs, 4 RBIs. He's hit a ton of balls to the warning track. You hear that. You never heard it before about Albert Pujols, but you hear that dreaded warning track power. Yesterday, Price shuts out the Angels. Rays 5. Angels nothing, a complete game, 5-hitter, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts for Price, who is now 3-1 with a 2.63 ERA. And you know he's one of the premier pitchers in baseball. Now he's really starting to show it. Irvin Santana drops to 0-4 with a 7.23 ERA as he gives up 5 earned runs in 5 innings. The Angels drop to 6-11. Tampa Bay moves up to 10-7 in a 3-way tie for first. If we have a chance, we'll get to the standings later. But they're in a 3-way tie for first in the AL East. And again, if you watch the game, Price was unbelievable. 119 pitches, only 5 hits for Tampa. Carlos Pena, and boy, has he come back with a vengeance. I mean, he's just been fantastic for the Tampa Bay Rays. Not surprising. I mean, he's got that beautiful left-handed stroke. But a bunch of guys hit home runs. Pena hit his 4th. Luke Scott hit his 4th. Jennings hit his 3rd. B.J. Upton now playing after starting the season on the disabled list. His 1st of the year. 4 solo shots for the Rays. They beat the Angels. Rays 5. Angels nothing. Rays 10-7 in a tie for 1st. Angels 6-11. And frankly, waiting for Albert Pujols. Yankees go down to Texas to play the Rangers after beating them on Monday. This was the big all-Japanese, I think they said the 7th time this has ever happened. Yu Darvish, who Texas paid all that money, like $50 million just to talk to him, and then another $50 million in the contract. Him against Kuroda for the Yankees, who's been up and down for the Yankees. Darvish was masterful. I mean, he had the Yankees on their heels all night. 8 1/3, 7 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 10 strikeouts. Darvish gets the win, Rangers 2, Yankees nothing. The Yankees could just do nothing with Darvish. He's now got a 2.42 ERA, and again, he is 3-0, certainly putting Texas at 14-4, just where they really want it to be. Ian Kinsler hits a home run, his fifth of the year, to give them a 1-0 lead. Josh Hamilton singles home a run later in the game. Darvish gets out of a bases-loaded, no-out jam early in the game by getting a strikeout and then getting A-Rod to hit into a double play. Texas 2, Yankees nothing. Hiroki Kuroda drops to 1-3. 6 2/3, 5 hits, 2 runs, both earned. He pitched well, but again, not well enough. Texas 2, Yankees nothing. Texas moves to 14-4. Yankees another team in that three-way tie for first. They drop to 10-7. Derek Jeter, and what can you say about this guy? Since he went on the DL last year, a lot of people wrote him off early in the year. Got his 3,000th hit. I don't think that's why he wasn't hitting. I think he was hurt. He finally went on the DL. If you know anything about Jeter, you know he hates to miss games. But he went on the DL for 2 weeks last year, then hit like 335 the rest of the year. This year, 2-for-4 yesterday. He's batting .416. And boy, is he really continued what he did in the second half of last year, but turned it around compared to what happened the first half of last season. So give Jeter a lot of credit, off to a fantastic start. A number of other games in the American League we'll look at quickly. Mariners beat the Tigers 7-4. Vargas gets the win. He's 3-1. Scherzer gets the loss. He's 1-2. Cabrera hits his fifth home run of the year for Detroit. Avila hits his third. Mariners 7, Tigers 4. Mariners move to 8-10. Tigers drop to 10-7. The Royals in a free fall have lost 12 in a row. Indians beat the Royals 4-3. Lowe gets the win. He's 3-1. Sanchez takes the loss. He's 1-1. Perez gets his seventh save of the year. Indians 4, Royals 3. The Orioles and the Blue Jays, I'm sorry, it's a four-way tie for first in the NL East. Orioles beat the Blue Jays 2-1, both now 10-7. Hunter gets the win. He's 2-1. Alvarez takes the loss. He's 0-2. Straub gets his first save of the year. Wieters having a great year for the Orioles. Hits his sixth home run of the year. Orioles 2, Blue Jays 1. Red Sox bury the Twins 11-2. Aviles gets 4 hits and hits his third home run. Ortiz hits a mammoth 3-run homer in the fifth inning that was predicted by White Sox by Twins announcer, former manager Kelly, who, if you saw the replay, said, yeah, I'm afraid 2-0 fastball, he's going to be sitting on one, and he then hits a 3-run homer. Red Sox 11, Twins 2. Beckett gets the win. He's 2-2. Blackburn takes the loss. He's 0-2. Athletics beat the White Sox 2-0. Malone now 3-1 gets the win. Floyd now 1-3 takes the loss. Balfour gets his fifth save already of the year. Athletics move to 9-10. White Sox drop to 10-7. Want to move now to the National League quickly. A couple games to look at. Jose Reyes returns to Citi Field for the Mets after winning the batting title and moving on to the Marlins. The Marlins have not been very good, and neither has Jose Reyes. Of course, they had that big distraction with Ozzie Guillen, who missed 5 games yesterday. The Mets come back from a 1-0 deficit to beat the Marlins 2-1. Jose Reyes 0-4, now hitting .215. Ruben Tejada, who replaced Reyes, is 0-4, but he's hitting .246, and Reyes has made a bunch of errors too, so it hasn't worked out so well for him so far. But the Mets get the win. Mets 2, Marlins 1. Santana was unbelievable. 6 2/3, 3 hits, 1 run earned, 2 walks, 11 strikeouts. Now, another decision for Santana. The Mets just can't score for him. But John Roush gets the win in relief. Pitches a scoreless 8th, gets the win. He's 3-0. Francisco gets his 4th save, pitching a scoreless 9th. Mets 2, Marlins 1. A no decision for Josh Johnson, 6 2/3, 3 hits, 1 run earned, 1 walk, 9 Ks. I mean, it was masterful pitching. If you like masterful pitching, Santana v. Johnson is just that. Mojica takes the loss. He's 0-2, and the winning run was driven in by Lucas Duda with a hard single off the glove of Mojica, an infield hit, but he really hit it hard. He drove in the winning run. Again, Mets beat the Marlins in Jose Reyes' return 2-1. Another interesting game, the Nationals beat the Padres 3-1, the Washington Nationals 13-4. What can you say? Davey Johnson going to make a run with this team. Gio Gonzalez, another great pickup for the Nationals from the Oakland Athletics, moves to 2-0, six innings pitched, two hits, no runs, two walks, six strikeouts. He's 2-0 with a 1.52 ERA. Rodriguez gets his save, the fifth of the year. For San Diego, Richard drops to 1-2. Pitched well, six and a third, three hits, two runs, both earned, but he walked five while striking out six. He takes the loss. Washington Nationals 3, Padres 1. And again, Gonzalez is just, he's a very good young lefty. He's now pitched 20 consecutive scoreless innings, and he gets the win. Quickly to the other games, Pirates beat the Rockies 5-4. Watson gets the win. Belial takes the loss. Hanrahan gets his third save of the year. Reds beat the Giants 9-2. Latos gets the win. He's 1-2. Kane takes the loss. He's 1-1. Phillips and Ludwig hit home runs for Cincinnati. Posey hits one for the Giants. Cubs beat the Cardinals 3-2. Russell gets the win. Salas takes the loss. Brewers beat the Astros 9-6. Wolf gets the win. He's 1-2. Norris gets the loss. Axford gets his fourth save of the year. Phillies beat the Diamondbacks 8-5. Worley gets the win. He's 2-1. Colmenter takes the loss. Papelbon with his sixth save of the year already. And the Braves beat the Dodgers 4-3. O'Flaherty gets the win. He's 1-0. Guerra takes the loss. He's 1-2. Craig Kimbrell already with his sixth save of the year. 40-year-old Chipper Jones hits his third of the year on his birthday. Quickly now to the TV tonight. Game 7 NHL playoffs, 7:30 Eastern, NBC Sports Channel. Capitals at the Bruins. You got to like Tim Thomas and the defending Stanley Cup champions playing at home. Can Alex Ovechkin have a huge game and pull the upset? Capitals at Bruins, Game 7 tonight. NBA doubleheader, Clippers at the Knicks, 8 o'clock Eastern. That's on ESPN nationally. Spurs at the Suns, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. That's on ESPN. I think a lot of these games will now be just get rest for your playoff-bound teams, and three of those four teams are playoff-bound. The Suns knocked out of the playoffs yesterday. Baseball tonight, Marlins at the Mets, 7 o'clock Eastern on SNY. Angels at the Rays, 7 o'clock Eastern, that's on ESPN2. And the Yankees at the Rangers, 8 o'clock Eastern, that's on the YES Network. This is the Steve Kallis Show, or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.